everyone. You are listening to The Football Fights, brought to you by Pride of Detroit. PrideofDetroit.com, at Pride of Detroit on Twitter for all your Detroit Lions news and analysis needs from SB Nation. But we've got a little bit of a wider reach tonight. This is, as I said, Football Fights. This is brand new podcast, I think. It is right. If you're subscribed to the Pride of Detroit podcast, you're subscribed to Football Fights for right now. This may spin off here in a little bit. We're testing the waters tonight. It's going to be fun. In with us is a pretty big crew. I am, of course, Chris Lemieux. You can find me on Twitter at Detroit Southern. It's Detroit Southern now. The old name's dead. So we've got in here to represent all the NFC North bloggers from the SB Nation hemisphere. We have from our own Pride of Detroit, Mike Payton at POD Payton.
Hello.
We have here to represent the Vikings, Arif Hassan from the Daily Norseman and Cold Omaha. He's on Twitter at Arif Hassan NFL. How are you doing, sir?
I'm good.
You're doing good?
Yeah, how are you?
I'm doing good. All right. Representing the Chicago Bears, we have Lester Wiltfong at Wiltfong JR from Windy City Gridiron.
What's up, guys?
And finally, last but not least, the man Tex Western, Mr. Evan Western, the Tex, if I may, at Tex Western from Acme Packing Company.
Good evening, gentlemen.
All right. I see we're all kind of situated to do this show. How we're going to do this, we have a bunch of questions in front of us. I'm going to give y'all, let's say, we're going to feel out the time, but I'm going to give you guys a little more. Like, we were talking 30 seconds. I'm going to give you guys, like, 2 minutes each on for these, some of these. No, let's do 1 minute each. 1 minute each. We're going to talk about a series of questions relating to the NFC North, the NFL, and I will impartially award points. If you're listening and you're not a Pride of Detroit reader, you might be wondering to yourself, wait a minute, Chris, you're from Pride of Detroit. Aren't you a Lions fan? That's the joke. I'm not actually, apparently. Like, apparently, according to the general consensus, I'm not actually a Lions fan or I'm not hardcore enough. So I'm here to be Tony Reale. But then we also have Ryan Matthews here from Pride of Detroit, who's also Tony Reale. He's going to fact check us.
You want me to say something?
Yes, I do. You're at Ryan underscore POD.
Yeah, that's me. I'll be here. I'll chime in whenever Mike gets a fact incorrect, but
yeah.
It's all right.
Yeah, you're here because, like, we can't really do podcasts without you. Like, it's kind of the bylaws of Pride of Detroit.
Thanks. I appreciate that. And Mike, I support you full and through. You'll do fine.
You. Let's not have the bias showing already.
So. this is terrible, guys. Come on.
We've clearly stacked the deck, and it's fine. We own the Bears, and it wasn't a face mask, and yeah, the Vikings are kind of good. I don't have much to say about the Vikings, but...
You are the wind beneath my wings, Ryan.
All right, let's start this off before this just gets even weirder now. This is going to be fun. All right, let's start with, I think, probably everyone's favorite question in sports. It is probably the easiest question to argue. What is the most... This is from, let me get this guy's name right, Nick Sandbolt. He wants to know, what team is the most overrated going into 2016? We'll take this one across the entire NFL. If you guys want to say someone in the NFC North, you're free to do it. But let's start here. Let's give it to Tex. Why don't you take it off?
All right. I'm going to go with Seattle. I know that, you know, they've got a great defense. Everybody talks about how great the Legion of Boom is. Russell Wilson's the next Messiah. But, I can't wrap my head around how they seem to keep doing it every year after year. And sooner or later, this, you know, with no Marshawn Lynch now this year, I know Thomas Rawls had a nice little end of the season last year before he got injured. But I'm really curious to see no Marshawn Lynch, what Wilson does. And, you know, Doug Baldwin's that big contract he just got. Is Doug Baldwin a, you know, $12 million a year guy? I don't know. I don't know what the market looks like now. But, no, Seattle just, they strike me as a team that has, they kind of gotten maybe a little bit figured out early on in the season last year. And and maybe it's my own bias aside as well after still being smarting significantly from that.
We'll stop you there then. You're at a minute. So.
We can just leave that.
Yeah, there. Yeah. All right. Let's do Arif next. What do you think?
Yeah, well, I think for like most overrated, you have to look at a team that's got a pretty good shot, according to, let's say, Vegas, of winning the Super Bowl. And I noticed the Pittsburgh Steelers are third in Super Bowl odds, according to Vegas, and that's 10-1. So I'm going to pick the Pittsburgh Steelers. I like Big Ben a lot. I think they've got an amazing receiving core, and Le'Veon Bell is pretty good. But I think they've got some serious problems in protection. We've got Marcus Gilbert, David DeCastro, and Alejandro Villanueva protecting Big Ben, who has now recently become pretty injury-prone. We've seen that the past couple of years. And their offense, I think, overperformed. I mean, you take a look at a lot of key metrics like drive success rate at Football Outsiders, and you compare that to the amount of points they actually scored, you know, the points, you know, overshadow all of these other things, and that means they're pretty due for a regression offensively. Defensively, they may have the worst secondary in the NFL. I don't really like their defensive line. You've got Stephon Tuitt. You've got Bud Dupree, who I don't think is ever really going to fit into what a lot of people are talking about or his upside. And Ryan Shazier has never really developed into the kind of linebacker they wanted to be. So I don't think they're the third best team in the NFL.
All right. Mike, you want to go?
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Houston Texans, kind of a team that a lot of people are getting a lot of hype into the Texans this offseason. I've seen them rank very high in a lot of power rankings and a lot of, a lot of people who write about football seem to think that they're going to be going into the playoffs. But I really don't trust that offense. I know they've got Hopkins. He's a great receiver. But Brock Osweiler, he showed last year in Denver that, you know, he's going to be more of a game-managing quarterback. I don't really see how he can do anything to make this team better on offense. I know you've got J.J. Watt and Jadeveon Clowney and Vince Wilfork and I guess even Kevin Johnson on defense, but there's still a lot of holes there. They were pretty good down the stretch last year, but I do not see the Houston Texans making it back to the playoffs this year. I think they're gonna falter, and I think they're going to be looking for a quarterback again next year.
All right, sounds good. And finally, let's get on to Lester, your overrated team for 2016.
Well, I'm going to make a couple of you guys – one of you guys happy, one of you guys a little sad here, but I'm going to go with the Packers. the one thing about the Packers –
first bar.
It seems a lot of people have forgot that they didn't even win the division last year. I know this offseason a lot of people are talking about the Packers as, you know, the cream of the crop, but, you know, they had basically one major problem with Jordy Nelson last year, and people think him coming back is going to be the savior of the team. And, you know, I mean, I think he's a good player, but I think he's 31 now, coming off a bad knee injury. You know, is he going to be the same player that he was? I mean, he was pretty good before, but, you know, he may be down a step. I just think that team, for as good as they are, as good as Aaron Rodgers is, you know, they couldn't win the North last year. And I think people got him in the taking the division. They got him in the Super Bowl by a couple of things I was reading this last week. So I got to go with the Packers as the most overrated.
All right, we'll give a little time here to let Tex, if he wants to rebuke this, he can, I guess. Let's do that. I like this as an idea, as a feature, just like if we get some NFC North hate, just to kind of, you know, get in here and defend this if you want, Tex.
Yeah.
Or agree with him. I don't know.
No. I will be more than happy to defend my team. So, no, you're absolutely right that the offense played like crap last year. And that was in large part, as you said, due to the loss of Jordy Nelson. But you also had Randall Cobb, Devontae Adams, both banged up all year long, so you get a fully healthy receiving core. That's going to be that's going to not allow those defenses to play that one deep shell and that press man coverage on the receivers. So, plus you got the addition of Jared Cook, which really helps out stretch the middle of the defense down the field. And then on defense, personally, I really like the Kenny Clark pick in the first round. I think he's going to bring a nice tough presence to the middle of the defense, and then moving Clay Matthews back outside where he can do the most damage rushing the quarterback. All told, and not to mention the development of the Packers secondary, a lot of young corners back there, a lot of great talent. So I will certainly defend my team.
Okay.
All those predictions.
All right. I think that's it. So we had the Seahawks for Tex here. We had the Packers for Lester. Arif says the Steelers. Steelers, yes, yes, yes. And Mike had the Texans. Mike, I need to know where people are saying that the Texans are even like. I haven't seen anyone talk about the Texans like that.
Where'd you get this from? On 120 Sports, they did this top 10 thing, and Texans were on there. And I saw something else on NFL Network. They were saying, you know, of the teams, I guess, that never made the Super Bowl, the Texans have the best chance. I guess it's not necessarily saying that the Texans are.
That's a small company to keep. That
talk
is
about damning with faint praise.
Super Bowl odds, man. Who's rating them highly?
I've not seen anybody rank them that high. I don't like them.
Okay. I'm giving this point. I'm giving this point to Arif, though, because I think that's a really good one on the Steelers. I really wanted to attack because that Seahawk team, man, that is such a suspect team. But I mean, man, you bring up that good point about that secondary. Like, I don't know what they've really done to really make it all the better too. And like they should take that division easily. But I mean, beyond that, my God.
I mean, yeah, it's like, if they're the third best team in the NFL, I think the NFL is a problem.
All right, Ryan, do we have any corrections to make there? Or are we good to continue?
Not a whole lot of corrections. Tex did say that Russell Wilson is not, in fact, a Messiah, and I checked that. He is not a Messiah. And then for Mike, I just checked SI.com's NFL offseason power rankings that were put up at the end of May, and the Texans are in the top 12. So,
good God. Good God. We need to.
Wait, in the top 12, does that just mean 12?
Yeah, they're number 12, but when I say it like that, then it gives. It
sounds better.
It sounds better, right, Mike?
Yeah, no, that's true.
Four slots away from being in the middle of the pack. Okay. Let's continue on here. I think our next question is about quarterbacks. This is actually pretty timely because we just saw, Andrew Luck just get completely broken off. And probably in the context of the NFL, it's probably still not as much money as he's actually worth. But at the same time, in the context of this current salary cap and contract structure, it's just an ungodly amount of money when you start doing comparative analysis. So would you guys rather tackle the Andrew Luck contract, or do you want to talk about quarterbacks you despise?
Number two.
You want to talk about quarterbacks you despise. All right. So, okay. So I think what we're going to do on this, let's talk about quarterbacks you just utterly despise. And for the sake of just all the hate that flies around, I think we're going to exclude NFC North quarterbacks and only starters. So that means don't bring up Tim Tebow or Kellen Moore or anything else. Just starters.
Oh, I have to shelve my Ryan Mallett screed. Oh no.
Yes, I was very sad to hear that, you know, but hey, maybe he'll get a gig somewhere. I don't know. Let's reverse this here. Let's start with the Lester this time.
As far as quarterbacks I despise, I don't really despise any. But I will touch on the Andrew Luck contract because that's kind of what the topic at hand is.
I guess like, you know, overrated too. Yeah.
You know, it's just he's a good quarterback, obviously. You know, his numbers aren't overwhelmingly good though. But you know, I was watching, you know, a lot of stuff on social media, and a lot of the excuses that people are using to defend Andrew Luck as a Bears fan, I see those same excuses used to describe to defend Jay Cutler. It's kind of real comical to me that, you know, with Luck, his problem with turnovers is because it's the receiver's problem. It's the tipped ball problem. It's the pass rush in his face problem. His offensive line sucks problem. So all these same excuses people use to defend Andrew Luck, the same excuses they're using to defend Jay Cutler. So it's just kind of comical to me that, you know, one guy is pretty much hated universally. The other guy is pretty much, you know, he's the man now.
Sure. Arif, what do you take on just the idea of just doing comparative analysis on criticisms for different quarterbacks? Like, you know, Andrew Luck apparently seemingly get a pass, everyone waiting to see how great he becomes. But then, like, you know, as Lester talks there, like guys like Jay Cutler or even a Matt Stafford, to use the Lions here, like those teams, like, you don't, no one's giving as much of a pass to those particular quarterbacks.
Yeah, no, I think that's really important, especially because we generally, or at least we did before, you know, Pro Football Focus took those tools away from us. We generally had the tools to actually account for a lot of the things that, you know, people bring up. And, you know, Andrew Luck, I think, is – I actually don't have much of a problem with the contract, but I do think that he's overrated. I think, you know, a lot of people talk about his offensive line, which is bad, but it's not the worst in the NFL. So if you take a look at his ability under pressure, it's not that good. His receiving weapons are actually pretty good. I mean, Dante Moncrief, T.Y. Hilton, they're – good receivers. So it's weird to talk about a supporting cast and not talk about other quarterbacks who've had, you know, problems under pressure, who have succeeded, you know, where he hasn't, who have had better passer ratings or net yards per attempt or PFF grade or QBR, whatever you want to use, when under pressure specifically. So no, I think that that's really important. One thing I think to keep in mind, though, when we're talking about contracts, is to take like a percentage of first year cap instead of looking at total money. Like the fact that Andrew Luck has the biggest quarterback deal in the NFL, I don't think it means anything to me until we start looking at it as a percentage of cap. And that is one of the reasons I don't have that much of an issue with the contract. But I do think that, yeah, he's overrated because excuses, right? He gets right. excuses that others don't. And we can check those excuses, and they don't hold up.
All right, we'll stop it there. Let's go with Tex here. What do you have to say about either do you want to shift – do you want to keep this on Andrew Luck, or do you have another quarterback you want to discuss?
Well, kind of along the lines of that is a guy like Andy Dalton that fascinates me. I'm gonna.
Oh man.
I can't stand the guy personally because I was at the Rose Bowl when TCU beat Wisconsin and had my heart ripped out by that guy. So he's on my list of top despised quarterbacks anyway. But it's puzzling to me how a guy can, you know, with a very, very good defense, get a team to the wild card round, have his team get bounced, what, 4 or 5 years in a row now, not win a playoff game, and still get one of these, you know, these monster contracts. And it's just kind of frustrating to me to watch some of these teams in quarterback purgatory for so long. And I know, obviously, I've been spoiled with basically my entire life having two starting quarterbacks in Green Bay. So I recognize that I'm coming from a little bit of a different position, But Dalton, I mean, looking back at his first couple of years, as far as interceptions go, 13, 16, 20, 17, finally looked like last year he turned it around a little bit. And he had, I will say, he had an excellent year last year. But I'm very curious to see what he does moving forward this year. No Marvin Jones, no Mohamed Sanu. Take away a couple of those weapons, and how is he going to perform in 2016?
All right. Before we get to Mike, just real quick, just the idea of – I wanted to float this guy by this by you. Do you think there is such a thing as a class of quarterbacks that is they're good enough to make you feel good, but just bad enough to, like, there is a certain class of quarterbacks that, you know, what Tech's talking about there, that just leave your franchise in a purgatory. Do you guys generally believe that idea or no?
I personally don't. I think, you know, if you draft well, like the Packers, for example, Brett Favre leaves and you go right into Aaron Rodgers. I think it's about how the team is ran as opposed to, you know, going into purgatory. If you've got a Matt Millen character or somebody like that, you're going to go down no matter who you pick.
All right. Let's just take it from there, Mike. Why don't you give if you want to give a take on Luck or another quarterback, go right ahead.
Yeah, I'm gonna go back into Luck here. Since when is a completion percentage of 55 considered the best and a good enough percentage to award a quarterback the most money of any quarterback in the NFL? You're looking at a guy here that, yeah, he did go down last year, but he had thrown 15 interceptions. In fact, he's thrown 28 in the past 23 games. He was well on his way to leading the league in interceptions. To me, his play doesn't reflect this narrative that was given to him back in Stanford, where he is the best quarterback prospect that we've ever seen and that he's going to lead the NFL into the promised land with his quarterback play. And I think that personally, he has set the tone of what quarterbacks are now, and it's mediocre, and it's going to lead to guys like Carson Wentz getting huge mega deals 5 years from now.
Oh God.
That's a good place to stop. You're over your time. We'll just hit you there. All right. I'm going to give the point here to Ryan. Do we have anything to correct before I word out this point?
No, not really. Oh. Nice job, guys.
Nice job. Nice job. All right. I'm going to give this one to Mike, just kind of laying it out there bare as far as just completion percentage and bringing up the fact, again, like, we've been waiting for this guy since Stanford. So I think that's kind of more damning than anything. Arif, shame on you for making me think of T.Y. Hilton as a good receiver.
Well, he's pretty good.
Wow. That, I mean, there's definitely worse. Let's go to a short. There are definitely worse in this league. Let's do this one here. Let's get a question, just kind of a fun question to just kind of ship it up here. So let's do Coliseum style, all-out gladiatorial brawl of the NFC North. We've got 53 Lions, 53 Bears, 53 Vikings, and 53...
Factory workers.
Yeah, meat packers, packaging people, whatever it is for the Packers. Sure, sure. Good stuff. 53 good, tough union men. Armed with lead pipes or something.
Salt of the earth.
Salt of the earth. They're on strike and they're mad as hell. Like, yeah, let's go with that. So let's throw it out here. Let's go to Tex to lead us off.
All right. Well, let me ask a question to start off here. Do my Packers have sausages with them? They are meat packers after all.
Sure. They can have sausages. They can have even frozen sausages. Any implement that would normally be found in a packing factory.
All right.
You're
well, I'll start off by saying the fact that
thing, aren't you?
The fact that we've got sausages and meat gives us at least a slight fighting chance against all three of those. Because let's face it, Lions, Bears both eat meat. Vikings, I mean, they
love meat.
My depiction in my head,
like, meat and mead.
People just eat nothing but meat and potatoes. So that at least gives us a fighting chance to distract them, and then, you know, by throwing food at them and then sneaking up on everybody. But ultimately, unfortunately, it pains me to say this, but I got to give the edge to the Vikings. After all, they've got swords and axes and halberds and things, and they can probably do some serious damage with that. A little more than the giant claws and fangs, at least in my opinion. So
all right, let's go to let's take it to Lester. What do you think?
Yeah, I gotta agree. If the Vikings are gonna have weapons, you know, it's you gotta go that way. But you know, it depends what kind of weapons. If the weapons are these mammoth big axes that take a little while to get going, or maybe the Bears have a fighting chance to pounce, you know, before they get, you know, impaled. But you know, with the weapons involved here, you gotta go with the Vikings.
All right, Arif.
Yeah, I mean, I'm obviously going to go with the Vikings, and, you know, we've already got two concessions there. I will say that an additional advantage for the Vikings is that they're the only one of this set of people to have experience fighting in groups, fighting with tactics. And the Vikings do, you know, they typically had full arms. And so their ability to attack with distance, I mean, they also use, like, ranged weapons, too, but their ability to attack with distance and with armor, I think, gives them an unbeatable edge here. By the way, many Vikings were vegetarians, so the sausages actually can't really do much.
Damn, I tried.
Well, I guess that is a little bit of Viking history.
Wow.
I was thinking of Danes or something. Like, I was thinking back to, like, Beowulf or whatever I could. Yeah.
No. Yeah, these Vikings who, you know, they're strong. They had pillaging and stuff like that. I mean, there's even a pretty good BBC article. Many of them were vegetarians, and that vegetarian lifestyle didn't prevent them from being, like, these amazing warriors.
Sure. Just a lot of, lot of milk up there. That. Yeah. Yeah. Ryan, yeah. Start working on that right now, actually. Yeah. Mike, you're the last to go. What do you say? Are you giving this 4-0 to the Vikings here?
Absolutely not. The only thing the Vikings have is that they are able to sing in harmony together. Good for them. Awesome. They're all vegan, so they don't know how to kill an animal. If they were going up against the shrubs team or something like that, then they'd be really good. They'd be good at killing a plant. But, okay, come on, the Lions, obviously. I mean, we're talking about 53 bloodthirsty Lions. Obviously, the factory workers are going to die first because they're factory workers.
And then the Bears, you know, they're going to go out. The Bears are going to go take a nap somewhere, look for fish in a lake or something like that. The Lions are just going to be slaughtering everybody. And the Vikings, are, you know, I mean, come on. Vikings? So what? You guys got your own TV show. Who cares? It's a lion.
Ryan, we need to fact check. Were there ever a Coliseum where there's a lake accessible?
There's always a lake accessible in a Coliseum.
They used to fill the Coliseum with water and hold seabass, man.
This is
true.
This is... Wait, what?
You didn't know that?
My ability to comprehend history at this point right now is not really that good. Ryan, do we need to clear up anything, or are you still looking up the vegetarian bit?
I'm deeply into Vikings Wikipedia right now, but all I can say is, Mike, how dare you bury factory workers when we write for Pride of Detroit?
Yeah, seriously here.
How did you bury the working class? How did you bury the working class? The salt of the earth.
Hey, I've worked in a factory before, and I can tell you that none of us there could fight for our lives.
Fair enough.
But I mean, we're kind of I'm assuming the Packers that we're throwing in here are like the turn of the century guys, the guys who could probably die in a factory because unions haven't been fully formed yet. So I don't know. The meat distraction argument to me holds a lot of weight. This is an upset. I'm giving this to Tex.
Ah,
wait, what?
There's
only one.
But he also voted for Vikings though. He just brought up a good point that, you know, maybe the factory workers live a little longer. Live a little longer than we think here. Like, you know.
If I can insert real quick, there were water battles at the Coliseum.
Holy
so.
God!
Thank you. I want to read.
My ancestors were smarter than me, much smarter. quick singles question here. We'll have singles questions every now and then. This is for Tex, actually, our winner from the last round. In regards to the fact that you wrote this sentence, this is from a Lions fan, I should note. You wrote this sentence, quote, he's 100% sure that Devin Taylor did grab Aaron Rodgers' face mask. Actually, no, wait, that's from Mike. You wrote that.
Yeah, I wrote that. Yeah.
But this is something true that Evan believes. So the Lions fan in question, GB42, wants to ask, how can Evan Western write articles if he's apparently blind?
Dictation.
Dictation?
Nice.
I like it. Weird. I like it.
It's simple.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
I will say he touched the face mask, and it sure as hell looked like a face mask, so that's good enough.
He touched nothing.
We're going to stop it right there. Okay, we're going to go with this one. This is actually a classic from Pride of Detroit, and we're bringing it here to football fights. Pizza or chicken wings? Ryan's going to fact check, but he doesn't need to do any research right now, because I know where Ryan lies on this. So, if you're not familiar, Pride of Detroit, we have Team Pizza and Team Chicken Wings. Gentlemen, and I'll start with Mike this time, pizza or wings?
Pizza, because you can do anything you want with it. You can make a sandwich out of it. You could eat it. You could make a sandwich out of it. It's pizza. You could have a bunch of different toppings. You can make a sandwich out of it. it's pizza.
Work that sandwich angle.
What is it with
different
you?
The varieties. It's deep dish. There's thin crust. There's hand toss. There's a brick oven. I mean, you have one thing that you could do with wings, and that's fry them or not fry them.
Okay.
Pizza.
Okay. Lester, you're up.
You know, I'm representing the Bears, so I got to go with pizza here. I mean, it's pretty easy there. I mean, it's the deep dish. You can make a sandwich out of it, obviously, that we heard. So, you know, there's a lot of ways you can go with pizza there. You can make pizza your entire meal and be okay with it. If you eat an entire meal and nothing but chicken wings, you may have a little bellyache after about an hour or so. So it's got to be pizza.
Okay. Tex, you want to take this?
Yeah, I got to go with pizza, too. I mean, to follow up on Mike, I mean, you can do so many different things with it. There's so many different styles. You didn't even touch on dessert pizza. I mean...
Oh,
God.
Yes.
You can make a sandwich out of it. It's great.
All right, Arif.
Oh, my God. It's so uncreative. Yeah, you could do so many things with pizza. You can make a sandwich out of it. Now, I'm going to go with wings. You can do way more than just fry wings. Obviously, frying wings is great. You can bake wings. You can grill wings. You can do a lot of things. But the most important thing, I think, with wings is that, A, it's super hard to screw up. With pizza, it's really easy to screw up. You could have a bad crust. You could have any deep dish pizza. You could do a lot. You could burn, like, a bunch of stuff much more easily on a pizza because of how thin good pizzas are. Or you could have a soup with a deep dish pizza. With wings, it's much harder to screw up because they're made of dark meat. They're more resistant to, like, you know, a bunch of different scrubs. They can stay on the grill for a long time. They can stay in the fryer for a long time. And you can hit all of the flavor notes in a way that pizza can't. You can hit sweet, salty, bitter, sour. And you can hit umami because of the gelatin that's in chicken wings that forms from the collagen, which doesn't really happen with almost all pizza applications. You can't really hit all those flavor notes with the pizza, even if you put a bunch of different toppings on. So,
what if you had a buffalo chicken pizza?
Then you wouldn't have wings on the pizza, obviously. Which also means you wouldn't have the collagen because the buffalo chicken
boneless chicken wings.
You don't get collagen.
Boneless wings don't. Yeah, the boneless chicken wings can't have the collagen in it. Then.
Yeah, yeah.
So there is a restaurant where I live that serves a buffalo chicken pizza with a bone-in wing on top of the pizza.
There you go. There it is. That's collagen.
Then you get none of the benefit of the pizza because you have to eat around the bun. That's ridiculous.
Thank you, Bobby Flay, for your interesting facts. Yeah.
Ryan, we need to correct a few things here, I think.
The only thing we need to correct is we need to ask Arif how sure he is that he wants to keep working at the Daily Norseman because he has a position at Pride of Detroit whenever he wants it.
Oh. Yeah, that's right. Ryan is the originator of Team Wings here. He is the original OG, so he is securing a spot. I will quibble, though, Arif. And you said dark meat in wings. Wings are
that's a little wrong.
Yeah, they're white meat.
No, they're definitely dark meat because of the muscle fibers.
No, but
man.
But the chicken's dark meat is like the legs and thighs.
There is white dark meat in legs and thighs. Yeah. Wait, why don't we have Ryan look this up?
I can look this up, guys. I mean, you guys can continue, but I have one thing that I'd like to bring up from Reddit when I typed in, is pizza a sandwich?
Reddit.
Sandwiches are handheld foods featuring some kind of bread and filling. If an open-faced sandwich is still a sandwich, then how is a pizza dough covered in sauce and cheese not also a sandwich? My girlfriend is disgusted by this opinion, but that's just how I see the world.
Or if you go to Chicago, it's a soup in a bread bowl.
Right, exactly. Oh, so I just went to kitchen.com. Wings are a dark meat because of the structure of the muscles, because they're longer muscle fibers.
Okay.
All right.
You've gotten really technical on me a few times.
This is the thing, Arif, is that I really wanted you to work for Pride of Detroit, but now you're trying to take food off my table. So
yeah, you've got competition here, Ryan.
You just did the fact checking for me, so.
Well, actually, that depends. Arif, are you able to write about fantasy football?
I've written about fantasy football in the past.
Oh, wow. Yeah, Ryan, be careful. That's like Ryan's only niche.
I'm going to go back to fact-checking.
All right, I'm going to give out 2 points here. Arif, that was a very impassioned and very in-depth look at wings, but from the pizza argument, I'm giving a point to Mike as well. I can hand out as many points as I'd like.
That's fair.
Mike said that it can be a sandwich more than Tex and Lester.
It's a sandwich.
Oh my God. Okay. Let's get in the NFC North now. Who has the best stadium in the NFC North? And including in this here, I want to include in here not just the stadium, but tailgating experience, home field advantage, the local scene, viewing experience, amenities, like everything you can. And I'm going to probably start with Tex here for obvious reasons.
Well, everybody knows that Lambeau Field is the best stadium, not only in football, but in all of sports. So this argument is all over. The history of that stadium, the great, great renovations that they made in the early 2000s. The atrium is a great area. There's a fantastic restaurant. You got the Green Bay Packers Hall of Fame right down there in the atrium. And then the tailgating scene is second to none. It's obviously a complete party in the entire area. It's perfect that there's the parking lots and the houses right next door, right across the street where you know the owners of the houses will rent out their parking spots on their lawns to tailgaters. The whole experience is just so much fun, and it's almost like a college atmosphere, just in terms of the fact that Yeah, it's the only thing that, that they have in Green Bay. And we get it, but it's pretty damn good. I think we do it better than anybody else.
All right, let's give the next round here to Lester. Go ahead.
You know, I got to agree. I've had friends that are hardcore Bears fans, and they've gone to Lambeau, and they said they've loved it. They said that it's just a great experience overall. You know, like Tech said, it's like a college town feel. It's definitely not Soldier Field. You know, I mean, it's better since they made the remodel, but it's just not a very, very pretty stadium. It's got to be Lambeau.
Okay. Mike.
Well, okay, I'm going to tell a real quick story here. I was watching Monday Night Football. The Packers were playing, and they came back from commercial, and they were showing a shot inside this guy's house of him watching the game. And then they panned to the right, and there's Lambeau Field. Why the hell would you put a stadium in the middle of a freaking neighborhood? I don't. If I want to go tailgate, I don't want to worry about Frank watering his lawn across the street. I'm telling you, Ford Field is the way to go. You're not going to freeze and die in Ford Field. We're going to have that Wi-Fi hooked up this year. It's going to be incredible. As far as tailgating goes, I mean, there's so many things you can do in downtown Detroit. I know some people would disagree, but there's different bars and hole-in-the-wall restaurants and stuff that you can go to before time. And Eastern Market is amazing. I'm going to go with Ford Field.
I just need to ask this because I've gone to plenty of Ford Field games. You actually think there's a good tailgating experience there?
I love it. Tailgating for me is not sitting in a tailgate. It's walking around. It's meeting people. It's checking out the sights. And like I said, going to the hole-in-the-wall bars and restaurants. I have a few of them that I like to go to. It's a lot of fun.
All right, Arif, you're last, I think.
How could I not hate for the newest stadium in the NFL? I mean, aside from the fact that it looks beautiful, especially lit up, I mean, I've tweeted it a couple of times. It's gorgeous. It's a spectacle. It also has, like, outdoor entertainment. It's got, a screen on the outside of the stadium that can supplement tailgating. It's got dedicated tailgating lots. What's amazing about it is inside they've thought of everything. They've got unbroken sight lines from every single seat in the field. I don't think Soldier Field can even say that, even though it's outdoors. I don't think Ford Field can say that. And it has seats, not bleachers like Lambeau, and it's got wider concourses than any other stadium in the NFL, so you don't get stuck going to the bathroom or anything like that. It's got some of the best food amenities there, and you talk about Wi-Fi, it's got the best Wi-Fi hookup in the NFL, too. I was in there the other day, and there wasn't a spot where I couldn't get a Wi-Fi signal on my phone, which is phenomenal. You know, every amenity that you can think of, it's got, you know, obviously right now the biggest screen in the NFL, although I'm sure Jerry Jones will fix that. And you'll never have to be cold because it's technically an indoor stadium. So you'll have the best experience out of all of these without having any of the complaints that you typically have going to a game. And it's going to have ample parking, too.
All right.
I would like to throw out a quick technicality here on Arif there.
Okay.
Because that stadium, while it is beautiful, it's not in service. No, they're not using it. It's just a
building. I think they sell on hype.
It opened like last week, man.
Yeah, just because the Vikings aren't playing in there yet, it's fine. It's fine. Ryan, this kind of dovetails nicely into it. Ryan, from what I understand, there's still plans on for a lot of Pride of Detroit to try to get up to Minneapolis to go see the Lions Vikings game.
I mean, that would be the ideal. That would be the ideal move. I would really like to get up and check out their new stadium.
I think you sold that new stadium to us pretty well, just as you know, Michiganders who are kind of ogling this trip up to Minnesota.
It should be a fun time. Let me know if you come. Like to hang out.
I do have one fact check though. The Vikings screens won't be as big as Dallas's, nor will they be as high.
Oh, I did say Jerry Jones was going to change that. So
he's already on it. He saw the blueprints and he's like, oh no, this is my castle. Nope. However, I'm giving this point to Tex because people don't realize I'm a Notre Dame fan, so you got to really sell me on a good tailgate. I really appreciate the tailgate. Downtown Detroit's cool, but I want a tailgate, guys. Like, nothing better than a tailgate. I'm a very simple man. Just give me, you know,
Eat cheese and beer.
I mean, you can add some extras in there too, but usually the beer, especially the beer. Need cornhole too. Need cornhole. Always need the cornhole. okay. So let's see. At the score right now, I think we've got like 2 apiece from everyone except for Lester. Need to really try to get him up in here. That's all right.
Said you gave me 2 points for the one thing.
Yeah, I gave out 2 points. We've had 5 questions, and we had an extra point from the wings perspective because you've impressed Ryan, so that counts for something. So
right, and then that was the so then I got the first one too. So I don't want to like lobby because I sound like an asshole, but which is I just thought I had 3 points.
I think you should deduct a point for lobbying.
I need to be able to like give up and down more points then, like, because 1 point of a loss on this 1 point per round thing is kind of a little more devastating than Tony Reale suddenly deciding to like take away 3 points or whatever. All right, let's do this one. Actually, I love this question. So reader wants to know, do you think that the NFC North should always be fully represented on Thanksgiving Day games? So, just as a history guy, I remember the original one was basically the Bears and the team that would become the Detroit Lions, the Portsmouth Spartans. So, Lester, you know, this is your chance to get in here. Do you think it should be an NFC North exclusive here? Or do you not mind that, you know, the Cowboys get in on this and there's usually at least one other team that wants to jump in on the festivities?
You know, I think that if it was something where it was had more than just the Lions, maybe it was a Lion Packer thing or a Lion Bear thing or a Lion Viking thing, yeah, I'd say maybe it should be an all NFC North. But, you know, it's pretty much been the Cowboys and the Lions, you know, throughout the last, you know, however many years. So I'm okay with it, you know, and then, you know, having that third game added obviously makes it an all-day event. You know, it's as weird as it sounds, it gets a little too much for some families with the, you know, the kids and the grandmas and the grandpas, everyone's over there. You know, no one wants to watch football that much. So it kind of gets a little hectic to go that much, you know, a straight, you know, 12 hours of football. So, you know, I'm good either way. And I'm obviously glad when the Bears come on, but it's only good when they win.
Sure. And you bring up a good point, too, about like almost too much, because like I know college football's in on this, too, even though like Texas A&M died a grisly death a while back as a series. Like, there's that football on. So I think all in given, there's like a good like four to five games of football on any given Thanksgiving.
It gets a little rough if the entire family's. If some of the family's into it and some aren't, it's kind of unfair to make them sit there for, you know, 12 hours and, you know, and sorry, it's football. It's Thanksgiving. It's tradition, you know, so it is what it is at this point. But, you know,
sure.
I'm okay either way.
Okay. Mike, Lions, this is your team. This is the Lions tradition. What do you think about Thanksgiving, the NFC North and all these other teams in it?
I would personally love to see the NFC North completely represent Thanksgiving Day. Kind of, when you think of Thanksgiving, you think of getting together with the family. It's cold outside. You know, you're outside playing football. You think about classic gridiron football, and I don't think that there's any teams in the league that represent that theory more than the teams in the NFC North. So I would love to see it be exclusively an NFC North thing, because you've got so many rivalries. And like I said, I mean, this is classic. This is your daddy's football. I think that the NFC North perfectly represents that.
Arif?
No, I like the spectacle of the Thanksgiving games. I think like it's become a tradition that's evolved to include the Dallas Cowboys, and I think that they I mean, it's nice to have someone to just like hate when you're watching football, and having the Dallas Cowboys there at Thanksgiving every single year gives me someone to hate, because I don't hate the Lions. I like watching them play. And so I think that having the Lions and the Cowboys play on Thanksgiving is great. But I also think that there's room to just have the whole NFC North as well as the Dallas Cowboys play. Like, I know it can be too much for some families, but like, you know, honestly, there's always one game a year that because of scheduling or because of whatever is not going to be that great. And so you could just turn that game off if your family's not into it, or you could just watch all day if you are into it. I mean, my family loves, you know, having all day Thanksgiving. So I like the idea of having all of the NFC North plus the Dallas Cowboys and whoever they want to play.
So in your ideal world, would you see it as like, you know, Lions are probably playing either Packers, Vikings, Bears, and then the other two are squaring off, or is it like one specific team is always going to be the host one, and we just kind of switch it around? Like, how do you really envision that playing out? Are you proposing more football on Thanksgiving?
No, 3 games a day is fine. I think that the Lions and the Cowboys should always be playing at home on Thanksgiving, mm-hmm. and I think that the Lions will be playing an NFC North opponent. And then the Dallas Cowboys can play an NFC North opponent, and then an NFC North opponent can play someone else.
Oh, okay.
Or the remaining two NFC North teams can play each other, and the Dallas Cowboys can play like the Giants or something. Either one of those works for me.
Okay, sounds good. Tex, what's your take?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a really cool idea. I feel like a lot of times people forget that the Packers played the Lions every year for about 15 years back in the 50s and 60s.
Mm-hmm.
So that certainly, there's a little bit of a tradition built up there, and then it seems like every 2 to 3 years we play in Detroit again, and it's always a good time. You know, last year was great for me aside from the result of the game.
That was a great game.
Packers host the Bears on Thanksgiving night. So I would advocate more for the Lions versus NFC North foe, and then have the other two teams play the night game on Thanksgiving, and then rotate around who plays where. Which team hosts that night game. I think that would be a really cool way to kind of bookend the day around the Cowboys game.
Ryan, do we have anything here? I think it checks out about the Packers playing the Lions for, was it 15 years or so? Like, that was...
Yeah, it was quite some time.
Yeah.
I don't know if you do remember that game where Dre Bly had 3 interceptions against Brett Favre, but I sure as hell was there. So...
Sure, you definitely were there. Those were what year was that? That was 2000.
That Mike McMahon.
Well, that might have been 2003. Dark days.
Sure.
So performances like that stand out.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Let's see. I'm giving this point to Lester because, like, unlike a lot of you guys, like, I want less football on Thanksgiving. Let's get a couple of NFL general questions here. Really like this one. This is actually coming from Ryan himself here. He wants to know whose rookie class will make the biggest positive impact for their team in 2016. So that's Ryan. Did you want to do this across the NFL or just in the NFC North?
I guess I was kind of looking to see each team, each I guess person we have representing the NFC North here, kind of
sure
build up their own rookie class, or if they want to. They want to say that we had the best draft class, like, I think we did. I mean, that's fine if they want to jump on the Lions bandwagon right about now.
Sure. Let's lead off with Arif. What do you think? Who in the NFC North has the best rookie class, or if you want to stump for the Vikings, go ahead. Like,
sure.
Yeah, like, actually, you know what? Let's when we're doing these NFC North questions, we should probably have each person stumping for their own team. Like, try to sell me the best on why your rookie class was so good.
So my argument is just that the Vikings are going to have the most impact from the rookie class on day one. I think that Chicago probably had the best draft, but all of their good players are behind other players that are going to be fighting for time, and it's not going to be an easy battle for those players to get on the field. For the Vikings, Laquon Treadwell, who a lot of people thought was the best receiver in the class, is going to make an instant impact. I think in the second half of the college season, there wasn't a better receiver in the draft class than Laquon Treadwell as he was recovering from that injury, and he's going to create touchdowns for an offense that had some difficulty creating touchdowns through the air. Other than that, I think that David Morgan's going to see the field really early on for the Vikings because the injury to Rhett Ellison is going to keep him off the field. Pro Football Focus had him as the best blocking tight end in the class, I think. And if not, he's definitely up there because he's a fantastic blocking tight end. He's going to be able to create additional yards on the ground. On defense, the Vikings drafted maybe the best cornerback in the class, Mackenzie Alexander, who allowed 0 touchdowns over the past 23 games in the college career. No other cornerback could say that. He was fantastic, and he has the ability to replace Captain Munnerlyn right away. And then Jayron Kearse, I know he's a 7th-round pick, but he has the opportunity to battle for the starting safety position opposite Harrison Smith because there is no clear winner between Sendejo Griffin and Anthony Harrison. So the Vikings can get 4 starters out of the draft class who can play pretty well despite the fact that they didn't draft as many players as they usually draft.
Okay. The only thing I'll say about that is that I'm going to be very sad to see Captain Munnerlyn replaced because that is, in my mind, the best name in the NFL.
Like, yeah, it's
down,
a great
hands
name.
Down, hands down, probably the best name. Tex, why don't you sell us on the Packers rookie class?
Yeah, so if we're talking impact, there's obviously, Arif talked about the year one impact, but I think the Packers class could definitely have the best long-term impact. One of the things that Ted Thompson does so well is he anticipates holes on his roster before they happen a year or two in advance. And he really did that in the second round with Jason Spriggs, the offensive tackle out of Indiana. You're looking at four of the Packers' top six offensive linemen are going to be free agents next year, and including David Bakhtiari, the left tackle. And so you get a guy in Spriggs who most people feel like he could be right up there with Bakhtiari competing for the job now. So if you have somebody who can come in on the second year of his rookie deal, replace a guy who probably departs in free agency and gets you a, you know, maybe a third or fourth round compensatory pick, that's a great value there. You've also got Kyler Fackrell, who's a little bit of an older player at outside linebacker, but with Peppers set to hit free agency, he could slide into to the starting lineup in 2017. Blake Martinez is going to be a really interesting player at inside linebacker. He had the best coverage grade of any linebacker in the draft this year. And that's exactly what the Packers need in the middle of the linebacker, for sure, for the Packers.
Mike, let's talk about the Lions draft class. What do you think?
Well, I think if any team really drafted for what they needed and set up maybe an elaborate plan for the future, I think it's the Lions. They clearly had a lot of issues in the trenches, and they've had these issues for quite some time. Matthew Stafford's been sacked 89 times the last 2 years. Their offensive rushing attack was ranked last in the NFL last year. So to go out and get guys that work in the trenches like Taylor Decker and Joe Dahl and Graham Glasgow, you got guys that are not only going to play right away, but the majority of them can start. And I think the other good thing about guys like Dahl and Decker is that they can play multiple positions. Dahl can play both the tackle and the guard. Decker can play on both the right and the left side. That sets up a plan in the future for Riley Reiff. If he were to leave next year, you can put Joe Dahl in at that position. And then obviously they have an upgrade at center with Graham Glasgow, who I think is going to beat out Travis Swanson in the preseason. And then you got A'shaun Robinson, who really helps bulk up that defensive line. And as well as Anthony Zettel, who is another guy who could play both DT and defensive end. And I think he's one of the most underrated athletes in the entire draft. The things that guy's able to do is pretty incredible.
All right, and last but not least, Lester, let's talk about the Bears. Their class.
You know, I think the Bears, I like what the entire NFC North did, but I got to say, I think the Bears probably had the best draft amongst the four teams. They have a few guys that are going to have to battle for playing time there. But, you know, in this day and age, your sub package on defense is pretty much a starter. So if all Leonard Floyd is a pass rusher as a rookie, you know, that's a win for them. You know, he's going to give them an element of speed off the edge there. Their second round pick, Cody Whitehair, right now he's in line to be the starting left guard. A lot of draft guys had him as the best guard in the draft. So that's going to be a big upgrade there. Bullard, he's another guy. He may only get on the field as a sub-package pass rusher as defensive end, but, you know, he'll definitely be in the mix to start there on the line. They got a few defensive backs there that's really added their depth. One of those three man to push and just to start at safety. One of those three man to push and start at nickel. So you're going to have some stuff going on there with those guys. They got Jordan Howard, the running back from Indiana. Gives him an element of power behind Jeremy Langford. And, right now, you know, with Langford, he had a nice rookie season, but, you know, the way John Fox likes to do things, he'll go with the hot hand. So you may see both those guys getting, you know, about a 50-50 split in carries. So that's going to be a good deal there. And then a lot of Bears fans are real high on their seventh-round pick, Daniel Braverman. He's a real small, shifty slot guy. He has a 4.3 40 in his pass there. He tore up his knee, I think, 2 years ago, so he should be, you know, fully healthy now. He had over 100 catches last year, and that's a guy that a lot of Bears fans are real high on.
All right. Wow, this is going to be a hard one to give out a point for. Ryan, do we need to clean up anything?
No, I just have maybe a couple of follow-up questions that I can maybe ask.
Sure, go ahead. Go ahead.
So the first one I had was for Tex. About the Jason Spriggs really intrigued me as a prospect. If he comes for anybody's job, do you it's going to be for Bakhtiari, do you think? Because, I mean, Bulaga is just, you know, the man at right tackle, or where do you see Spriggs ultimately ending up?
Yeah, I think ultimately Spriggs is projecting best as a left tackle, and the contract situation being what it is for both Bakhtiari and Bulaga, Bach being a free agent after this year and Bulaga being signed for the next 2 to 3, I definitely think you see Spriggs, once he does enter the starting lineup, probably in 2017 as the left tackle. The nice thing about him is he can play right at the right or the left side, and so Bulaga has had some injury issues in the past, so I wouldn't be surprised if he does end up starting a game or two at right tackle in place of Bulaga at some point this year.
Yeah, so that was what I was most interested in, because I know Bulaga is I think Bakhtiari's senior by 3 years, and I didn't know about Bakhtiari's really his versatility to maybe go over to the other side. But okay, that's super interesting. And then the other question I had was for Lester, because our own Chris Lemieux said that Jeremy Langford was the sixth best running back heading into next year.
Wow.
I'm sorry.
Oh, my.
But I'm kind of high on Jordan Howard. I think that he has a chance to even maybe take some reps and take some snaps from Langford, maybe potentially if things don't hit the ground running. I mean, what's your perspective on maybe that? Is there a camp battle that can be had there, or is Langford just the clear-cut number?
You're trying to torch my list of cast.
You know, are you talking about for fantasy perspective?
No, just overall. We did top 10 running backs overall. And this is a bad slotting on my spot. So Brian's taking a task.
You know what? In my opinion, I think Howard is going to end up getting more carries by the end of the year. He's going to be obviously the goal line back, the short yardage back. But it's not like he doesn't have any speed or looseness to his game. He's a pretty good athlete. The thing with Langford is, you know, he had a lot of drops last year. I think he led the league in drop percentage passes, not just as running back for pretty much everything. He just was for his limited targets, he dropped way too many balls. Some were really crucial situations too for the Bears. So I personally am not really high on Langford. I do think though, with another year in the system, he'll get those rookie jitters out of the way. The Bears' offensive line should be better with Bobby Massey at right tackle, long back to guard. I think they'll be a little better as blocking. So I see Langford having a nice year. But again, with John Fox, you know, he likes to run with the hot hand. You know, he's always done that through his whole career. So you're not going to see one, you know, bell cow running back. So if you're looking at from a purely production standpoint, I don't think Langford's going to be that high.
Okay. I have one last question. This one's for Arif. Sure. Is the German going to see the field?
Yes. Moritz Behringer.
See the field? I'm worried if he's going to make the roster, man.
That's what I'm asking you. I mean, is he going to make the cut?
No, I think that his best chance is to make the practice squad, and it's a long shot for that. Well, maybe not a long shot for that. Actually, he's probably got a good shot at it. And the reason actually has less to do with his technical skill level, which is definitely still lacking at this point, but more that there are six receivers on the roster who all have extremely strong arguments for making it. And though Norv has once in the past rolled with seven receivers on the roster, he typically rolls with five, and I think they're going to roll with six this year, and Wirtz would be the seventh. And, I mean, he just has a lot of stuff he has to clean up, hands technique, route running. The Cordero Patterson-Hutchinson Community College highlights look more polished than Moritz Behringer does right now, so it's going to take him some. Yeah,
man, those the German football fans who emailed me after I profiled him are going to be very disappointed.
I mean, I'm a huge fan. I thought it was like a decent pick, but he's going to have to be on the practice squad.
Yeah, like I was glad he was picked, but I think I agree. Like, it was kind of going to a place that was already stacked with receivers, especially after, you know, Laquan Treadwell in the first, like you bring up. So, Ryan, I don't know how to award this point. What are you thinking?
Oh, I don't know. I do not know. This is your duty, man. I'm just here the fact checking.
I know, and I'm doing a terrible job at it right now. I'm just kind of flubbing around.
Give it to Lester. He's a nice guy.
Okay. Nice, are we gonna end this then two tied across? Okay.
Wow.
Oh, whoa. We're ending this on a tie? There's no way. There's got to be a tiebreaker question.
We're already way over. Okay, fine. We'll do one very quick tiebreaker.
Give the people what they want.
I will give the people what they want. These podcasts, though, I don't know if them being this long needs to be what they want, but we shall go for it. All right. You had one more question you were feeding me. Where was that? Okay, name one. This is very quick. Just I want the name from each of you. Name one player from the NFC North you'd like to see on your team, preferably not a quarterback. Arif.
Alshon Jeffrey.
Oh.
Jordy Nelson's great. I'm just worried about, you know, obviously you know, the injury is a big issue, and I think the ACL injury is a bigger issue than Alshon Jeffrey's history of injuries, and I think that a jump ball receiver is exactly what Teddy needs to complement Laquan Treadwell. He is fantastic.
Mike.
Kyle Long. Obviously, we have a lot of issues on the offensive line, and we aren't really certain as who's going to be the tackle. I think if you had Kyle Long on this team, he's your day one LT, and he'll hold it down for you.
Lester.
Give me Harrison Smith. That's the Viking safety, correct?
Yeah.
He's just he's a real good a good player. The Bears have had a safety problem for a real long time. Well, they haven't had the guy back that they could trust since Mike Brown back in the early 2000s. So you give that Bears defense a safety, I think things will click for him.
Tex.
I'm gonna have to go Anthony Barr. With the area of the Packers defense that's the weakness being somewhat in the linebacking core, especially kind of an inside linebacker, I think he could transition a little bit to an inside in a 3-4 as well as contribute with some pass rush. So I think that would be that would definitely be my guy. I think we'll highly him.
Another really tough one for me to give out this point to, because it's like, yeah, it's all need stuff right here. I can't in good conscience say anything about Alshon Jeffrey, though.
As much as it pains me to say this, I was hoping that Mike would have said Anthony Barr, because I have the biggest man crush on Anthony Barr.
I think
in the world.
We got to give it to I think Anthony Barr is the right answer. So yeah, well, that was Tex, right?
Are we awarding the Packers the first victory?
Yes, Packers take the first.
Oh well.
As with all things in the NFC North, the Packers come out.
It's the first step to reclaiming our division title.
All right. I think this was a good first try. This was a first good experiment, everyone. And, you know, hey, if you like it, let us know, and we'll try to keep this thing going. And I know we'll all probably – I think we all enjoyed this. We definitely all enjoyed this, I would say.
Oh, yeah, good sure. times.
All right, so thank you all for tuning in. And, again, check Pride of Detroit on iTunes. You'll find the stuff there. And if this keeps going on, we'll start throwing it on to other feeds. You know, maybe we'll try to get the copies out so our Vikings friends, if you're subscribed to their iTunes, if they have one, or Acme Packing Company, if they have one, we'll get this out. We'll share it with the world. Got to give the people what they want. So... until next time, thank you all for listening, and we'll see you around.